Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. After Israel's last prophet, it got real quiet for 400 years. But then a baby was born, ushering in a new age of spiritual revelation. That new age brought us a New Testament, the book we're flying through right now. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a four-part series on the drama of redemption. We've just about finished a high-speed look at the New Testament story, leaving us one question.
What is the bottom line? First of all, I want us to think about the integrity of God, the question of whether or not God keeps his promises. God's integrity was seen by the coming of the New Testament and the events of the New Testament. But I can imagine, because the coming of Jesus and the life of Abraham about 1,800 years before that, I can imagine during those 400 silent years, in addition to all the other centuries that I've talked about, that people began to wonder, you know, where is his promise? I mean, he promises a Messiah, he promises a seed, nothing going on year after year, generation after generation, century after century. Where is God? And the people were asking that question. But then suddenly, an answer came. Cry of a newborn baby in Bethlehem. God kept his promise. Let us not be confused because God takes so long sometimes in keeping his promise. You know, there are two different kinds of trees, many different kinds of trees. I'm told that the almond tree buds very quickly and bears its fruit. But the mulberry bushes and the mulberry trees sometimes bear fruit over a period of 75 to 100 years. And some of God's promises are instant. God says, I'm going to do something, and he does it right away. And then there are promises of God that linger on, and we wonder whether we can believe him. That's why Abraham, the Bible says, died not having seen the promises. We die with unfulfilled promises, no doubt about it. But we die in hope, and we die in faith, and someday Abraham will still see those promises fulfilled in ways that he could never have dreamed. Now, the same kind of skepticism that existed back then no doubt exists today. And that's why in the book of 2 Peter, we have these words of Peter writing to a skeptical audience, and this is what he says. You should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Now, catch this. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires, and they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning. And so today you have scoffers who say, you know, you talk about the return of Jesus. Jesus is coming back to earth. But where is he? Year after year, month after month. When I was growing up, we used to have prophecy conferences, and you felt for sure that before the meeting was over, Jesus was going to come. And he still isn't here. I don't think it's going to be hundreds of years. I think it's going to be a lot less than that. But we don't really know when Jesus is coming. The events of the world are coming together in such a way that it's startling. But at the same time, let's not think we know. But there will be scoffers who will say, well, where is the promise of his coming? He promised to come, but where is he? And then someday, the heavens open and Jesus shows up according to God's timetable and not ours. Clouds are a promise. Rain is the fulfillment. Old Testament clouds. God says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to send a redeemer. I'm going to send a king. I'm going to crush the head of the serpent. New Testament, the rain comes and Jesus comes to this earth and fulfills the promises. But not even he fulfilled all of them yet. but they will be fulfilled. You're going through a trial today. I want you to think of the promises of God like stars. The darker the night, the more clearly they can be seen. Hang on to the promises, because they are yes and yes in Jesus. We serve and we worship a God who has integrity. Second, it is not just the integrity of God, it is the redemption of God. If you get lost in the Old Testament, if you get lost in Leviticus and Numbers and some of the rituals of the Old Testament that we don't understand very well, always remember what the dilemma was. As I explained in the first message in this series in the Old Testament, the issue is this. God is devising a way by which he can have fellowship with us without contaminating himself by sin and without compromising his holiness. And the rituals were to remind people of their sinfulness, God's holiness, and the way that he is devising. Today, of course, we don't have those rituals, as I explained. They are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And how wondrously. Old Testament, you could be ceremonially clean. You know, you could wash your hands. You could go through the rituals at the laver. But it didn't change your heart necessarily. New covenant, God says, I will write my law into their hearts. And the law of God is written into the hearts of all those who believe in Jesus and trust him. And that's why when we get saved, as we use the terminology, which is very biblical, God actually changes our desires so that we begin to love him. We begin to have different priorities. Because under the new covenant, we receive a new heart. Those who are in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the story of the Bible, the storyline, the drama of redemption, is God answering this simple question as I've posed it. And then Jesus comes on the cross and dies on the cross, and he meets all of God's requirements. His holy life meets all the requirements of the law. He lives it perfectly. And he says to you and to me now, on the basis of my righteousness, my gift to you, if you receive it, you are acquitted by God. And you can have fellowship with him. And he remains entirely holy. And justice is fully satisfied. That is the good news of the gospel. Why would anyone think about rejecting Jesus? It is unthinkable. Finally, we have not only the integrity of God and the redemption of God, but the condescension of God. That is, I mean, and I'll even use the word humiliation of God. A church historian said that Christianity is the only religion to have as its central event the humiliation of God. Islam cannot accept this. To them, Allah always has to be victorious. Allah cannot humble himself. Allah cannot become a man. And Allah cannot allow himself to be crucified. Jesus comes, and against all reason, because you and I would not have done it this way, against all reason is able to come out of heaven, to leave his glories, to become a baby, to grow up a man as the Son of God, as the second member of the Trinity, humble himself, take all the curses and the accusations that were heaped upon him, to have him humiliated in the eyes of others, to die on a cross naked, along with two other criminals. Only Christianity can say that God did that. If that isn't mercy, if that isn't grace, if that isn't the unbelievable gift that God offers you today, you may be watching this by way of our internet ministry. You may be hearing this on the radio, and of course, the large crowd that is here today at the Moody Church. When you receive Christ, you receive the victor, you receive a king, you receive a savior, you receive a priest, and you receive a liberator. Liberates you from the law. Why would you reject him? You may be seated in the balcony today, but you know that you need a savior. I ask you to reach out and say, by faith, I receive him as mine. And you see, that's why we sing, lifted up was he to die, it is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high, hallelujah. What a savior, what a savior. And if you will, let us pray. Father, we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus. We thank you that the promises that you have given were fulfilled with integrity, and those still unfulfilled will be. We ask today that you will help us to cleave to the promises, because we live by promises, not explanations. We ask in the darkness of the night that the stars might shine very brightly as we look at him and remember what he did on our behalf. May we love your word. May we love you. May you work in us to bring about the transformation we need. And for those who have never trusted Christ as Savior, may they do that even where they are seated right now and say, Jesus, be mine. I pray in his name. Amen. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I need to say that from my heart to yours, I consider myself to be so fortunate to have the opportunity of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thanks to so many of you, Running to Win is heard in more than 20 different countries of the world. I'm especially gratified to be able to let you know that Running to Win is in the Middle East. Thankfully, available in many different countries and throughout Central and South America. It's because of your support. Would you consider becoming an Endurance Partner? We're so thankful for those who pray for this ministry. Endurance Partners pray, they give, they do so on a regular basis. Would you consider it? Here's what you do. Go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Click on the Endurance Partner button and you'll receive the information that you need. Hope that you investigate it. Offerrtw.com. Click on the Endurance Partner button, or if you prefer, and I hope that you have a pencil or pen handy, 1-800-215-5001. Let me give that to you again. 1-800-215-5001. Thanks in advance for joining the Running to Win family.
Erwin Lutzer has wrapped up the first of two messages focusing on the New Testament's teaching concerning the drama of redemption. Next time, don't miss a high-speed look at the Book of Revelation. The Drama of Redemption can be yours on CD or DVD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.